sons who left home to make their fortunes, and they did very well. One day, the three competitive boys, and if you have boys, you understand how competitive they can be. They got back together to discuss the gifts that they'd gotten from their mama, and they were bragging a little bit about what each one done for their mama. The first said, "I built a big house for mother." The second said, "I got her a Mercedes with a driver." The third one said, "I've got you both beat. You know how mama enjoys the Bible. And you know that she cannot see very well these later years in her life. So what I did was I sent her a brown parrot that could recite the entire Bible. It took 20 months in a monastery, 12 years, to teach the parrot how to do this. I had to pledge to contribute $100,000 a year for 10 years for them to train him, but it was worth it. All mom has to do now is name the chapter and the verse, and the parrot will recite that very verse for her." Soon afterward, the mother sent out her letters of thanks. To the first son, she wrote, "Milton, the house you built is so huge. I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole house." To the second son, she wrote, "Marty, I am too old to travel. I stay home all the time, so I never use the Mercedes, and besides, the driver is very rude." To the third son, her message was a little bit softer. "Dear Melvin, you are the only son to have the good sense to know what your mother likes. The chicken was delicious." That's an expensive chicken. A man and his wife were shocked awake at 3 o'clock in the morning by the pounding on their front door. So the man gets up to go downstairs to see what's the matter. Standing in the pouring rain is this drunken individual, and he's asking for a push. The husband says, "Not a chance. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's raining outside. Go on without your business." So he returned back to the bedroom. His wife asked him, "Who was that?" And he said, "Just some drunk who was asking for a push." And she asked, "Well, did you help him?" And he said, "No, I did not help him. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's pouring rain outside." His wife said, "Don't you remember 3 months ago when we broke down and those guys helped us? I think you should go out and help them. And by the way, you should be ashamed of yourself for not doing this on your own." The man does as he told. He gets dressed. He goes out to the pouring rain. He calls out to the guard, "Hello, are you still here?" "Yes," came back the answer. "Do you still need a push?" he asked. "Yes, please," came the reply out of the darkness. "Where are you?" asked the husband. "Over here, on the swing." You know, it's true, to do the good thing, to do the right thing, is going to take time and it's going to take effort. Okay, if you have your Bibles, would you open it? 3 John, and if you're able to, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. The whole book. The Elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. You have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the church that Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will come to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. more to that than just the brevity or the beauty of what John has written here. It's written by the same John who wrote 1st and 2nd John. He wrote the Gospel of John, and he wrote the book, the Revelation. He's one of the sons, one of the two sons of Zebedee. He's the brother of James. Along with James, they're nicknamed the Sons of Thunder. I don't believe that was a complimentary thing. Formerly a follower of John the Baptist, he wrote this letter in his old age, known as the Apostle of Love, because that's what he speaks mostly of in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John this morning. This letter was written to Gaius, a friend of the Apostle, about the same time that 1st and 2nd John were written. He wrote to commend Gaius and Demetrius to continue on their ministry. And we need to be encouraged from time to time to continue doing the things that God has called us to, because there are times when things get frustrating, amen? Can you relate? There are times where people just don't appreciate what we're trying to do for them. There are times where people just don't even like what we're trying to do when we stand up for what is right. And we're going to cover some of that this morning. So we need to encourage one another. And I trust when you come here on Sunday mornings that you are encouraged by what God's Word has to say and by the love that we share with one another. He also wrote about Diotrephes. And he said, don't be like him. You know, there are great examples that God has given to us in His Word. Examples of what to follow and what to do and what to be like. And also examples of what not to do and what not to follow and what not to be like. You know, in every church, there is good and bad. No church is perfect this side of heaven. And I imagine that's nothing new to y'all. This church is not perfect because it's made up of imperfect people just like us. Now, granted, most of you are far better than I am, but none of us are perfect. And if you feel that way, you just disqualified yourself from that category. Now, I thought about taking some time to give some shout-outs to people who have and continue to do such good work for this church and for God's kingdom. But then I realized I'd be here longer than the 20 or 30 minutes that you allowed me to be. So I'm not going to do that. But I do want to say thank you to some. I want to say thank you to those who have ministered and served and worked from the beginning, our charter members, like Miss Shirley back there, and Miss Molly, who's not here, but she's here in spirit with us. You know, these kind of people who saw the dream, who got the realization, saw the vision that God had given to bring about Trinity Missionary Baptist Church. I want to thank you, too, to those who ministered, served, and worked, who have come after our charter members, those who have come somewhere between the beginning of the church and today, who continue on with that vision of making this a lighthouse in the community, of ministering to the people that are around us and sharing the good news, the gospel message, and not only just talking it, but living it out in our lives daily. And I also want to thank those who are yet to come. Those who will be coming maybe next week or maybe next year or sometime, they're going to come in and help fill the gap and help continue making Trinity Missionary Baptist Church a lighthouse in this community. Those are the three that I want to thank this morning. We are doing many things right here in the church today. And admittedly, there is always room for improvement. I dare say in our own lives as well. Again, I don't think any of us are perfect. In the first century, just as today, there were those who stood as pillars within the church. People that we admired, people that we looked up to, people that we thought, I would like to be like so-and-so. Because, not because they're rich, not because they could sing, not because they knew funny stories, but because they acted like Jesus Christ. And so we could see them, and we knew if we wanted to be like Jesus, we need to be like them too. Humble servants who loved, who encouraged, who helped, and did the little extras, not for their own recognition, but for God's glory, that He would be praised, that the church would grow in numbers as well as in spirit. I'm very glad to say that that spirit is not dead. It is still prevalent here at TMBC. Amen? Okay. You know, there were some different things about John's day than ours, though. Many churches were small back then, and they would meet in their own homes. Frank and Rita, can you imagine if all of us went here living room for worship every Sunday morning? Wouldn't that be great? You know, I don't have a home big enough. Maybe you do. days in. There were no Holiday Inns. There were not restaurants like we have today on every corner. Believers and Christians in the churches were asked to take these people in, just to, not just to house them, but to feed them and to make them feel like family as they were ministering to the rest of the body. It was part of the love that they gained from knowing Jesus Christ, and part of the love that they could demonstrate because they knew Jesus Christ. That same could be said and should be seen in us today. So today I want to explain the good and the bad of church. I'll be very honest with you this morning. And let me start by giving you another illustration. An individual by the name of Benjamin Franklin, I'm sure you've heard of him. Now, Benjamin Franklin was an extraordinary person. I mean, he was an inventor. He was a statesman. He was a patriot. And he was sometimes very whimsical in the things that he did and said. He is one who's been credited by saying this: after 3 days, fish and guests stink. Now, it must have been his way of saying, don't overextend your welcome or your visit. But as smart as Ben Franklin was, our idea of hospitality should not be taken from what he had to say. Our idea of hospitality needs to be taken from what God's Word has to say and the examples that Jesus himself has set for us. We ought to do for others the right way, whether they do for us right or not. When John wrote this letter, travelers were dependent on the hospitality of other people. Like I said, they didn't have the hotels. They didn't have the restaurants. They were depending on the church family to be able to take care of them. And when Christian preachers traveled to spread the gospel, other Christians were expected to support their ministry and offer their hospitality. Remember, this is, Jesus said these words. This is out of Matthew chapter 10. He said, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of the disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." In these short 14 verses of 3 John, he talks about the good and he talks about the commendable within the church. Two good men are mentioned, Gaius and Demetrius. And there was one who had fallen because of the pit of pride, and that was Diotrephes. These names aren't as important as the prevailing attitude and the behavior that these men represented. And we can see that even in our day as we break it down a little bit more. But when I read these verses, I see one who was serving others, I see one who was hindering others, and I see one who is attracting others. And so I want you to look at yourselves, so to speak, retrospectively. And do you see yourself as one who serves, one who attracts, or do you see yourself as one maybe who is hindering? That's how many denominations are. That's how many churches are. Now, I want you to know, just this past week, I have seen church members go out of their way to help, to minister, and to serve other people. Right here at TNBC. I've heard from people who are so impressed with you that they're glad to be members of Trinity Missionary Baptist Church. And those are good things. I'm glad, and that's why I wanted to share them with you, to encourage you. And I pray those comments will only increase in frequency and magnitude as we continue on until Jesus comes back. With that in mind, let me ask you a few questions, and then we'll get to the three points of the message. First of all, again, how do you see yourself? Secondly, how do you think others see you? How do others perceive you? Thirdly, are you a Gaius? Are you a Diotrephes? Or are you miracle. The one who stood at the cross and the only surviving apostle was ignored by this individual. And why do you think that might be? Well, John tells us he was proud and self-willed. He's dangerous. He wanted to be first. He loved the attention. It was always about, hey, look what I'm doing. He was arrogant and refused to acknowledge John's authority as the apostle. Beware of people like that in a church. Insisting on their own way, bucking authority, and not only ignoring leaders, but bad-mouthing them as well. In essence, he's saying, I'm not going to be dictated to do anything by John. He was undisciplined, and he was spiteful. Ever been at a church where there's gossip going on? Diotrephes was prating or prating, and that means talking nonsense and gossiping against John and others with malicious words, putting them down. Those who gossip are undisciplined and they're spiteful. The best thing we can do for those is let them know that we're not interested in what they have to say. A gossip loves people to listen. Don't be one of those people that listen. They love an audience. Don't be their audience. He refused to accept spiritual authority. Diotrephes deliberately defied the elder, John, by turning others away from the church. For those who helped those who were traveling, those traveling ministers to come in, he saw them as his enemies and he tried to put them out of the church. There's a large difference between Gaius and the Diotrephes. This past week I saw this in my daily reading. I want to share it with you because I think it's very important today, especially to the point of the Diotrephes. In Jeremiah 14:14, this is what he says. This is God talking to Jeremiah. The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, I have not commanded them, I have not spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, and worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Again, that's God telling Jeremiah about his day, about John's day, and about our day today. And I'm going to give you two examples because I figure two of the biggest battles that we're facing today as believers, those of us who know what God's Word says, who trust it, who believe it to be truth. And the two things that we're facing today is that of abortion, where people think it's okay because it's their body, they can do whatever they want with it, and that of homosexuality. Now, it may affect you, I don't know. But I'm just going to share with you what God's Word has to say as well as examples of today. I just read this past week in one of the emails I get about a Presbyterian minister, a female, who had this to say about abortion. She said, abortion is a moral good. Abortion is an act of love. Abortion is an act of grace. Abortion is a blessing. This is a Presbyterian minister ordained by the church to share God's word. She goes on to say, I felt God's presence with me as I made the decision to end two pregnancies, and I felt no guilt, no shame, no sin. And my words to you is whether you feel guilt or not, if you're doing something wrong, it's still wrong. God's word says this, you shall not murder. That's an attack. observe others and those who hinder others. There are significant differences between Gaius and Diotrephes. But there's still a third person for us to examine, and that's Demetrius. He is the one who attracts others. Now, many believe that he was the one who was carrying John's letter to this church. Anyway, let me just say that just because someone has an opinion of us doesn't mean that their opinion is correct. Okay? Only God is all-knowing, and God is all-seeing. But recommendations do go a long, long way, especially from John to the church where he was sending him. It's not always what you know. Sometimes it's who we know. That's true. But verse 12 tells us,